So where we left off, George, last week was kind of hinting about your major, I would call it pivot to video, because this past time I saw you speak, it was all about video. In fact, I think it was one of those 10 ways fill in the blank video conversations. And one of the things that stuck out to me was a phrase, because again, I'm a word guy, so I look for the phrases that are actionable.
Yep.
And the phrase, a culture of video, stood out to me in a big way. What did you mean by that phrase, a culture of video?
Yeah, definitely. So DP, here's the thing. Most people are out there, they're thinking about video in the wrong way. And what I mean by that is they're thinking about video as a marketing tactic or a sales strategy. And when you think about video, or the way that I think about video, the way that I'm trying to preach to the world of video is it's not a tactic or a strategy. It is a way to communicate. Now, going back to last week's episode where we talk about happy, helpful human, it's the most human way that you can communicate in a digital space. Like, they can literally see your face, see your hands, the verbal and nonverbal communication. Video is the only place you can do that. Now, take that and realize that it's the most human way you can communicate in a digital space, and then apply it to that it's not a tactic or a strategy, meaning it's not meant for marketing, it's not meant for sales, it's not meant for service, it's not meant for HR, it's not meant for financing, it's not meant for administrative. It's meant for all of them. Like, everybody should be communicating in a human way in a digital space. Therefore, your entire company, from the janitor to the CEO, should be embracing some type of video creation, whether it's one-to-one personalized video or being part of the FAQs that you're making or putting your face on video for a proposal or a contract. Notice I just listed like the funnel, different actions that you could take. And by the way, that's really what it was. It was 10 places that you could use video in your sales, marketing, and service funnel, because it's for everybody, everywhere. Like, it's just the way that people want to communicate now.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people will say, I've got a face for radio or something like that, I shouldn't be on video. And I like to say to them, does that mean you don't go into work every day? Because
see, that's the thing.
People see your face at work. They know who you are. They know what to expect. They know you may not be a championship debater with perfect diction, or that you're some type of model. No, no one expects that. But what they like about you is your realness.
Yes.
The power of looking in people's eyes, oh my God, that's the snake charmer power.
If you can
maintain eye contact with someone, you really have a gateway to their soul. And by the way, you may think looking into a camera, it doesn't do that. If you're the recipient of that video communication and they're looking right into the camera, you feel spoken to, not talked at.
And that's the power of personalization for your sales videos. Like, literally, I can look in a camera and say, you know, hey, Jimmy, I just got the email from you. I wanted to let you know the XYZ, ABC. Like, I'm looking at you. I used your name. Your mind is now not paying attention to that this is a video. You're paying attention to that somebody communicated with you. And DP, I want to circle back around. It's so funny that you mentioned, like, the I have a face for radio. No. Like, look. I am an overweight, old white dude who gets on camera and creates content that people love. Like, that's just the bottom line. I'm a goofball, and I got, like, you know, I'll have a pimple here and I'll have a mole there and I might half shave one day. People don't care about that. People care about the value that is coming out of your mouth, the words that you are saying that are going to help them move to the next place in life. And by the way, it goes back to communication, because if I talk about it being communication instead of performance, now you can't give me the bullcrap excuse of, well, I'm not good in front of the camera because I mess up my words and I got to start over and it takes 27 takes. Nowhere in life have you been at a boardroom and started to pitch an idea and go, oh, hang on, let me start over. I messed that up a little bit. Take two. No, you continue on. You simply forget the fact that you flubbed up a word and you move forward. And that's one of the major, like, communication techniques that we teach people when we go out and do video workshops is, hey, yes, and keep going. Meaning what just happened was supposed to happen and keep going and get through the rest of the video. Sure. Could we do a take two? Absolutely. But it's going to be a take two of the entire video that you're trying to create. If it's a personalized video one-to-one, don't even worry about redoing it. Well, unless you say something really stupid, then maybe just because you want to. But the idea is that mistake makes you human. DP, we've said this over and over again for the last two episodes. If you're human, guess what else you are? Authentic. If you're authentic, guess what doesn't go off? The consumer's BS meter that you're trying to sell them some janked up junk. It doesn't have to be completely polished for it to be effective.
Yeah, one of the examples I love to use is take a beautiful actress like Angelina Jolie. What do you expect of her? In a movie, you expect her to look gorgeous. Even when she's covered in mud or something, she looks gorgeous. The lighting is fantastic. Her makeup is so wonderful that even though she has a scar, it's so artfully placed on her face. You're like, ooh, I love scarred Angelina Jolie. And then you see her on the couch on the Jimmy Kimmel show, and you see her the way she really is. Which one do you value more as a human being? Some people might say, well, I like her as a big movie star. I personally love to see who she really is so that then I can appreciate her acting. Because if I don't have a baseline for who she is in real life, how do I know what kind of good actress she is?
Yeah.
You know, and there's value in both places. There are times where you might want to have a beauty shot video that is the glory, wonderful thing for the website. That doesn't preclude you from in the blog section having a vlog style that's more like, hey guys, just want to give you a quick notice. We got the new XY2 5000 calculator in, and it's really, I'm holding up a calculator as you might be able to tell in audio land. And it's really just the value of that video is, oh, you got the new thing I'm kind of interested in. That's content value.
Yeah.
Production values may not be there. Who cares? The content is high value. So if I hear you correctly, you're saying be yourself and deliver high value content.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because you're kind of dipping your toe into a conversation that other people like to use as an excuse. By the way, this might be the excuses why not to use video episode. Because one is I got a face for radio. Two is, you know, I'm not good with the words. And three is the fact that, well, video is supposed to be outsourced, right? Like we're supposed to pay a lot of money and it's supposed to take a lot of time. And there's supposed to be three guys in a crane that come in and like produce this thing and all sorts of lights. And no, like, sure, there might be time for that. And that's where, you know, one of the sections of our course is insourcing versus outsourcing. And we literally talk about, okay, so when would you want to have an outsourced video? And there really are some reasons when you want to outsource. You don't have the talent, right, to do some type of animation style video that you want to pull off. You want it to be used for like advertising, like meaning TV or some huge trade show that is like 80% of where you get your revenue from. Sure, maybe outsource video. But the day in, day out, blog teasers, one-to-one personal videos, landing pages, thank you pages, proposals, contracts, shoot, in your chat bot because you got a freaking Drift and Vidyard integration. Like all of those places can be insourced video and can be made really quick and really inexpensive with webcams, iPhones, Androids, DSLRs. Like that's the thing. The production cost and the production equipment has dramatically changed in the last 5 years that anybody can learn this in a minimal amount of time and get the equipment that they need to do it. But the problem is everybody wants to put hurdles in front of themselves because that's easier.
Well, it's a way of saying I don't have to do it. And the bottom line is that's great. If you don't want to do it, there are plenty of people who will. And by the way, they're younger than you and they're gunning for your job. It's amazing. I'd like to use an example of a friend of mine because it just happened to him. He is doing LinkedIn video. And he does these LinkedIn videos and he started out doing the kind of what I call guru wannabe LinkedIn videos of follow your bliss and you can achieve your dreams and that type of garbage. And he did that because that's what he was seeing. And that's what he was looking at the number of likes and views and stuff. And he thought, oh, that's what you have to do. And then one day he put up a post that said, you know, I started out doing video and I tried doing that style because that's what I thought I needed to do. That's not me. I want to talk to you today about natural language processing, which is part of artificial intelligence. It's like, right. What? Well, guess what? Less than a month later, he gets a friend of a friend connection to a national digital marketing conference where he's going to be speaking as a 24-year-old about artificial intelligence to a nationwide audience of marketers.
Love it.
He didn't get that by doing a video that's about following your bliss. He did it by following his bliss and talking about the thing he's interested in, which is technology and marketing and the marriage of the two. Congratulations, Nick Myers, once again on teaching me, an old dog, a new trick.
Yeah. You know, the true trick in there is don't talk about doing it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Like, man, there's so much there. Like, so many people get paralyzed by perfection, paralyzed by the fact that they don't want to do it, although it's the best thing for them. Like, and I don't know. I know this is going to sound crazy, but when I'm talking about video and using video in today, and somebody says, I just don't want to, I equate that to that they're saying to me that I don't want to breathe. Like, like it's that intense for me because like otherwise I wouldn't have created 700 video tutorials or I wouldn't do like multiple Facebook lives or because it's not a it's not about video. It's about communication. It's about the humans. It's about, again, just making that change or doing that thing that you want to do. In the story's example, he's going to be on a stage that before this time in his life, he probably thought was impossible.
Absolutely.
Once he steps on that stage, do you want to know what he'll believe he can achieve after that stage? Something 10x of that, because he said, I'm going to be me and I'm going to put a video out on this platform and I have zero clue if it's going to work, but I'm willing to believe in myself enough and I'm willing to fail to try to achieve a potential success.
Let me ask you this question. Go back many, many moons to when you first started posting videos. How soon did you get any type of recognizable back pat or kudos from your audience? How many videos did you have to do with crickets for an audience?
Well, first of all, I'm glad there were crickets because if I go back, my first video sucked. Like they were just bad. I mean, there was bad lighting. There was bad audio. I was probably carrying around my phone, so it was shaky. Like, thank God it was crickets. Like the first 10, 20, 30 videos, you might want to hope that you don't have a huge audience. But for me, it was like video 30, video 40, really video 50. People were like, oh, like this is getting good. Like, they're talking about some cool stuff. There's good education here. And I mean, now what's fun about it is, and I'm not kidding when I say, like, I've literally done probably at this point 700 HubSpot how-to tutorials over the last 5 years. So now when I get on the mic, I get in front of the camera, whether it's a Facebook Live or a pre-recorded video, like I just know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to say. I know who I am and what I want to achieve. And so it's not difficult. It doesn't take a ton of time. And people are like, yeah, we're going to watch every single George B. Thomas video because he makes it fun. And it's like, it's done right. Like it's not completely perfect professional, but man, I get in, get out, get educated, and I have a little fun while I'm doing it. Like the only way you're going to do that is get through that messy beginning and be consistent. Like do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. And that's how you're going to be great. I mean, look, that's anything in life though. Like if you think you're going to be a pro basketball player the first time you step out there and try to shoot a 3-point, you're like, it's not going to happen. So why would you think that that was going to be video? Like a lot of people are like, well, I should just be able to stand in front of the camera. And all of a sudden they like lose their mind. Well, yeah, it's the first time you try to do it. Like come back to me after 50, 60, 70 times. Like of course you'll be amazing.
I like to tell people that they should do 7 videos and throw them all away. And then start again. And what happens is if they do, because, you know, you're figuring out your camera, you're figuring out the process for editing. You've got a lot of stuff to learn just on the mechanics of doing video. And every video you do, you're going to get a little better. Like you're going to look at the first one and say, oh, the lighting's terrible. And then you're going to discover, not learn, but teach yourself what good lighting is by, oh, this lighting is better. I should do it like this. Then all of a sudden, someone's going to say, hey, I loved your video because of the style of lighting you have. It's almost like a signature style. Boom, you got a signature style. Yay, good job. So if you do those 7 videos, throw them away, And all of a sudden someone says, wait a minute, number five wasn't bad. I kind of like that one. Guess what? No law says you can't post number five as your very first video because you will have worked out a lot of the kinks that you're talking about. And
yep.
But the reality is, especially even on LinkedIn, which is becoming this huge haven for video, there's a lot of people doing it now. The cat's out of the bag on how powerful it is and what a fantastic force multiplier it is for people, that more and more people are doing it. That's okay. Your audience might take a while to find you, but they can't find you if you're not there.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Yeah, here's the thing. They can't find you if you're not there. And if you're not there, the people who do find you can't tell you, like, can't tell their friends about you. Like, it's a snowball. That's what I mean. It is like at the beginning of the hill, it's a small ball. As it rolls down, it gets huge. It's an avalanche. That's the way you have to think about this. And it's funny because DP, I want to bounce back for a second. You're like, throw those videos away. I would suggest, yeah, you can throw those videos away, but put them in a folder somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Keep them.
Put them in a folder somewhere. Keep them, because one of the funnest things that I've done is I have the first HubSpot tutorial that I ever created. And I will show people when I'm training, I'll be like, okay, so like here's today's tutorial. And they'll watch it. Man, wow. And I'll be like, okay, that's good. Now watch this one and I'll play it. And it is a joke. Like, it's a photo of me standing against a brick wall showing three HubSpot certifications. And then it goes into a screen share of, you never see my real face. Like on this first video, the audio is horrible. It sounds like I'm in a tin can, but that was the best video because it was the first video that got me on a journey to become what I am today with video. And that's what people need to understand. The first is the best because it's the first. The last one you will be the best because of the consistency and the training and just getting good at it.
A mutual friend of ours, Don Stanley, recently spoke about video and he gave a presentation. And one of the things I loved was he took Gary Vaynerchuk's first wine library video and he showed it, but he showed it after he showed his kind of current sizzle reel of Gary, you know, gallivanting around the world in your face, Gary Vaynerchuk, the style we all know or hate and love or whatever. Yeah. He showed that first. And then he showed, you know, he looked like an accountant in a beige room with a couple of bottles of wine in front of him today. Today, we're talking about Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
Pinot Grigio is a popular varietal. One, kudos to Gary Vaynerchuk for doing video online before YouTube.
Right.
Keep in mind, he was doing Wine Library, a new video every day, I think.
Yeah.
For his website, Wine Library, which is part of their family's liquor store.
It used to be Discount Liquors.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It used to be Discount Liquors. And what's funny about Gary, and this is where, like, I'm going to say, don't be afraid to fail, because Gary was actually on YouTube, left YouTube, went to Vidler. Like, was betting on Vidler as far as, like, to put his videos out, and then came back and was like, well, I screwed that one up. But all that time, he was still learning. He was still doing. And talk about the quintessential, if you will, really bad video to, like, holy crap, look what he does now. Of course, he has a production team, but that goes without saying. You know, if you get good and you start building a big enough audience, you can start to have people follow you around and film you and create the stuff. But you don't have to reach that level to start doing it. Like,
no,
I'm a one-man band. I record my stuff. I edit my stuff. I publish my stuff. Like, sometimes that's just what you have to do to get to where you want to go.
And sometimes that's all you need to do to get to where you want to be, and also at the level you want to do it. Because, you know, I'm living right here in the heart of the Midwest. There's a reason I don't live in New York or Los Angeles. I don't want any of that stuff. And there's a whole lot of people who don't want a lot of the stuff that comes with being a major influencer from the major metro areas of the United States of America. Doesn't matter. Do you want to be a major influencer within your field of endeavor? An example I like to use is Civil War reenactors. You know, very small subculture of the United States of America. pick out a niche within that subculture. There's a guy, don't know who it is, maybe it's a gal, don't know, who is an expert at Civil War buttons. They can tell you what buttons were worn by what regiment at what battle. And who would care about that? The guys who Civil War reenact, they want their stuff to be perfect. So they will seek out the one person who knows and is the expert. And by the way, if that expert comes out with a line of product, whether it's a book or some signature buttons that are actually in the style of or whatever, they have a career. They have a business. They have a job that they own. They have a business they own. One of the things I love to say is if you don't own it, it's not yours. You can have a business that is wholly yours and performed on the basis you want that business to perform at. You know, so that's huge. What video stuff are you doing with Impulse?
Oh, yeah. So there's a show called Wayfinding Growth. It's a video-based show that we put out in video and audio format. There's also Sprocket Talk that I do, and some of the other team members jump in occasionally, which is HubSpot tutorials, updates, and interviews, video-based, but it goes out video and audio-based. By the way, you're gonna hear a pattern. And then Inbound Film, which is all about video tactics or strategies that you can use with different video tools. And that goes out in video and audio format as well. Because by the way, everything starts with video and we just work our way down. So if I start with a video, I can then do an audio podcast. If I do that audio podcast, I can then transcribe it to a blog post. If I transcribe it to a blog post, I can pull out a piece to do a social post. Remember that video culture? It's video culture because it's also the way that you can create the most content the quickest if you start with video at the front end of it and work your way down through the ebooks, the guides, the social posts, the teasers. Those are the three majors. And then I'm also kind of playing around on the side with this whole Beyond the Default. Beyond the Default is a personal project. It's going to be a book. But right now I'm getting on video and just talking about different pieces. I do truly feel like this is my calling, if you will, to the world because of the story that I've been given, because of the life that I've been living. I really feel like this book and this video content that's going to be coming out around living a life beyond the default, rising above the naysayers, like clearing out the noise and clutter and being able to live a life that you truly want to live. It's my gift. And I'm being completely open, completely transparent, completely authentic in the content, in the book. I mean, I just wrote an article 2 days ago, DP, about what do you do when you're ready to quit? It was one of my darker posts. It was the side of George B. Thomas that most people don't see because typically it's positivity and motivation and, right, happy, right? Yeah, right. Happy, helpful human. Well, this was not such the happy side. This was like a, hey y'all, might be struggling a little bit, but I'm going to write about it. And what's amazing is the amount of private Facebook messenger conversations and even in the comments conversations I had with people saying, man, like I'm with you, and or I needed that, or yeah, I deal with that as well. It's amazing, right? Because I'm not showing the fancy car and the fat stacks of cash and the, you know, the trip to Rio or whatever. I'm like, yo, I'm just a dude and I'm struggling, but I'm trying to get somewhere. And again, it ties back to what we said. It's just, this book has to be authentic. It has to go into places where maybe some other people won't write about, and the mindsets and the strategies and the tactics on a personal level to kill it in the professional space. So that's kind of my side baby project that I'm working on right now. And we'll see how it goes.
Do you have any time frame that you're looking to get that book out? I see on your website that Beyond the Default is the name, a story of rising above the norm, the noise, and the naysayers in life. So obviously, you've got a pretty good kernel of what this thing's going to be about. Do you have a timeline for publication?
Yeah, so all 25 chapters have actually been named. I'm finishing up the second chapter, which then is what you're looking at. It's the offer for people to download the first two chapters and the introduction. And my goal is to have the book done by the end, or maybe before, if I, by an act of God, maybe, but at least by the end of 2019, I want to have the book done. I want to have it through an editing process, and I want to be able to have it you know, at least somehow, not sure if it's going to be publicly through, you know, a book company or if I'm going to self-publish, but it's going to be there somehow, some way for people to get a hold of, read, engage with, and hopefully change their life. So end of 2019.
Hopefully over the past two episodes, listeners have found out and discovered something I discovered a long time ago, that George B. Thomas is a cool guy who has really interesting things to say and share. And hopefully you want to contact him. One of the best ways to do it is to go to georgebthomas.com and sign up to get the first two free chapters of Beyond the Default, his book that he's coming out with. Where can people check out a lot of your videos?
Yeah, definitely. So you can go to impulsecreative.com. That's the more professional side of life, the agency that I work for. There is a page under our learning center that is Sprocket Talk, as well as Inbound Film and Wayfinding Growth. Or you can literally Google Wayfinding Growth, Sprocket Talk, and Inbound Film. And that's going to get you to all the content, probably maybe even the YouTube channel or our video resources.
Yeah, I'll just put it this way. You aren't hard to find online, but just make sure that's George B., B as in Bernard, Thomas. What does the B stand for, by the way?
Oh, man, I wish it stood for Bernard now, but it doesn't. It stands for Benjamin, or as I like to say it, Benjamin.
Well, that you be jamming. Yeah, you be George B. Jamming, Thomas. What a great conversation we've had. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'd like to remind everybody that if you're listening and you would like to learn more about Nonfiction Brandversity, just go to Facebook, type in Nonfiction Brandversity as a search term, and you'll be directed to the group where you can join for free. It's always free and always will be, and we would love to have you on campus. So once again, I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and it's been my distinct pleasure to be with
George B. Thomas.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.